UPS is now hiring part-time package handlers and seasonal driver helpers in Des Moines. Package handlers can receive up to $80 in weekly bonuses, plus pay, and can earn up to $25,000 in education assistance. Driver helpers also receive competitive pay and are picked up along their route. No license required. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com. A great job and excellent benefits are delivered in one package. Get there at upsjobs.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. So glad to have you all here. As with all things that seem to happen, we are having a few technical difficulties.
We're good.
Okay. There you are. Well, hey. Well, then take it away.
Hey, everybody. Caleb Patterson, D4P Real Talk, Midwest Muscle in the house. And this program is sponsored by D4P Muscle, the number one drug-free foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at D4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. What the heck?
Hey.
Hey,
like
you got a little music.
Not me. I think that's
I'm here, but it's not a very clear line, Kaylin. I can hear you, Desiree.
Can you hear me now?
Very good.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. That's better. I can hear you now.
Okay.
Oh, woo! Well, this one I was not going to call on the call. We are on the call here.
It's an echo.
Yep. There is an echo. Do you want me to try calling back again?
Yeah, go ahead. And we'll do some ads.
I'll come off and I'll try again to see if we can get a slightly better line.
Okay. Well, while she's doing that, Des, since I have time, can I get something off my chest?
Please do.
I was, you know, we do some odd workout hours. So, you know, a lot of times we get up really early. A lot of times we get off real late. And we get home at some different times. Well, a lot of times when I'm getting home, I'm usually there when the drunks are either just starting or calling it a night during the week. And there was a particular fella that just was not happy with me in any way, shape, or form. And he looked at my size and he started huffing and puffing. And then he said something that really surprised me, you know. And it shouldn't be a surprise considering, you know, how everything's been going in this country. But it still kind of surprised me because this is a gas station I frequent quite a bit. And he told me that he was not afraid of me, which didn't surprise me, you know, so what? He's drunk, I get it. But then he said that taking the country back, and then he called me Monkey Boy.
Oh, no, he did not.
Yeah, and when I was growing up, this is a little Patterson history right here. When I was growing up, we were big, you know, Tarzan fans and everything. And I was always told that Tarzan was raised by apes. So when he, you know, when I used to be called Monkey Boy as a kid, I used to take it as a compliment because, you know, that was Tarzan, and he was like the man. So, you know, I hearkened back to that, and I told him, you know, I told the fella yesterday, that I fought for him to have those kind of words come out of his mouth and not have anything happen other than, you know, possibly getting punched in the face or by me or, you know, something by some bystander. But, you know, there's no law that basically calls him to be punished in any way by saying what he said other than the court of public opinion. And that was why I made that status this morning, because I was so worried that it might filter into the natural bodybuilding community. And I have so much love and passion for my country and for natural bodybuilding that I would hate to see either one fall apart because of this kind of mentality that somehow infected so many that so many of my fellow Americans.
That, I mean, it's just things even still go on, but it's still very much, I guess, alive and kicking. I mean, as evidenced by the last several months that we've been watching this political campaign, and I don't know. I think the more we let the things change, the more we just have to realize there's a good portion of it that just stays the same.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on that really should not. Hey, Vic, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm just listening to your story. A little bit sad hearing things like that. I don't like that sort of stuff. We're kind of lucky in Scotland. We don't have so much of that going on. You know, I see it more when I do come across to the States or have seen it in the past. But it horrifies me that you still have to deal with stuff like that. It's just quite sad.
It really is. Okay, I'm still getting an echo.
Do you have
it on you
speaker,
Vicky?
Well, I have you on my Skype, yeah, on my computer.
Ah, gotcha. All right, well, I don't think there's a whole lot we can do about that, so we're just going to have to rock and roll with what we've got.
Okay, I can hear you guys, if you can hear me.
We can hear you fine, but can you turn the speakers down, or is there any way to check the total volume?
Yep. Let's you down.
Okay.
Yes, that is perfect.
Okay,
that's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. So yeah, I mean, without getting into a long tirade and totally derailing our whole show, I am sorry, Kaylin, that you had to experience that. And I know in past conversations that we had that for whatever reason, you almost seem to get targeted, because this is not the first time and undoubtedly will not be the last time that someone just felt that, you know, they needed to exercise their free speech in a negative manner toward you.
Yeah, pretty much so. And, you know, I thank God for those opportunities, as much as it might sound crazy, because I would rather it be me than some hateful, vengeful person that's just ready to unleash holy hell on any and everybody that would dare speak those kind of things towards them. Because,
yeah,
honestly, our witness are through these times, and our testimony comes from these actions that are done in a negative way. Because how do you know if somebody is truly walking the walk? And, you know, it's the same thing. For me, Jim is life and life is Jim. How do you disconnect that mentality where you say it has to be all or nothing for me? If I'm going to be a natural athlete, then I'm going all in. If I'm going to be a Christian, then I have to go all in. And these times happen just to show you sometimes, you know, how far you've grown and how far you've come. So, you know, it does correlate for me into, you know, this lifestyle, because I really believe in a natural life being the only way to do it, because anything else is really death.
And that's true. So I guess some deep thoughts there to start the show. But
yeah, thanks.
we've already heard from Vicky, and she's across the ocean, and it's 11 p.m. her time. So we are gonna transition a little bit and give Vicky her due time. I know we'll have some more time to pick back up on this topic probably towards the end of the show. Vicky McCann, welcome back. How have you been?
Very good, thank you. Yeah.
You're just returning home from some big fun over here in the States.
Yeah, we had the DFAC World Finals were just over 2 weeks ago, which were fantastic. Kaylin, you've been, you know the atmosphere.
Oh my goodness.
It was amazing. Again, couldn't have asked for a better show. The standard of athletes throughout the classes was fantastic. The atmosphere was incredible. The parties were superb. So all in all, a really, really positive show.
Good. What were some of the standout moments from the competition?
Some really, really stunning competitors. I mean, Nathan Williams, British lad, 26-year-old, had a year out last year, came back and won the overall pro men. Absolutely phenomenal and still got places to go. I mean, he really has got potential to go further. When you're 26 and you're beating people like Siobhan and Robert Johnston and people like that, you know, Sean Wolfe, who won the Masters, you know that this is an amazing kid. This is a lad that's going to knock, you know, a lot of people off their perch, as it were. I think probably one of the greatest naturals I've seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we've spoken about this before. It is really exciting to see the natural athletes coming up that really understand what it means to be natural because of all the people that you spoke, the Siobhans, the Robert Johnsons, and all the people that have been holding it down, basically to show them that it is a natural way to go about it, and they can go full force into it without that doubt of, you know, possibly wanting or thinking they have to use drugs.
And yeah, I think that what's really nice is we're getting a lot of people coming back year after year who really trust what we do regarding drug testing, and they know they're up on a level playing field. And yes, it is good to see, you know, these outstanding athletes stand on stage. I mean, the one thing about being at the Worlds again this year was that as a bodybuilding fan, it was a joy to watch some of the competition. I mean, it really was a pleasure to watch the guys on stage, the time on stage, even the camaraderie between the athletes was quite incredible. So for me, that makes a big deal for me. I mean, it's not just, you know, we probably won't be the biggest world finals. I think we have as many great athletes as in any of the world finals out there. But I think watching the camaraderie and the standard throughout the classes this year was just incredible. It was absolutely incredible.
And you are a big fan of natural bodybuilding. You know, let's not gloss over that. You get about it. I think you parallel me with the excitement as far as seeing, you know, like the people from last year to this year. Like a good example would be Derek Davis, the way he looked. And then to see him again, even better. Like you said, this kid's coming up and he's looking phenomenal. But there's some people
Derek
that are...
Derek was incredible. I mean, to watch Derek come from... I mean, Derek I spoke to at, I think, the DFAC Mayhem last year, and he was going to actually enter the world as a men's physique. And I said, no, you're not. You're going to do bodybuilding. And he said, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough. I went, yes, you are. And he won his pro card last year. He got second in the lightweight, and it was a ridiculous lightweight class. I mean, that lightweight pro class was... It was stacked. I mean, it just was a beautiful class of athletes. You know, it was incredible to watch. And you know, to have come from where he was to play second in that class was incredible. And he is an incredible athlete and an incredible gent as well, a real, true gentleman as well.
Yes, that he is. That he is. So why don't you give us kind of an overall rundown of who were the top placeholders throughout the entire competition?
In each class?
Yeah.
Okay. The women's bodybuilding was won by Erisette McLean, who has been WNBF world champion, I think, for the past few years. Very, very neat, very good condition. She looked incredible and has got great stage presence. She's been in the sport for a long, long time. So very, very good. The figure class, I think, was probably the best of the women's classes. I mean, that was really tight. We had Tiffany Sipos, who I absolutely love as a figure competitor. I think she's so curvy, but muscular, but feminine, and just, you know, very, very powerful looking for a figure girl without being rock hard or striated. She seems to be a real dynamite package. She won that class. But Brittany Warner, who was actually the pro card winner last year, came second. And she's almost a complete different from Tiffany. She's very much more slight, very, very shapely, very, very neat. And you know, another year or so, I think that would be a much tighter competition. I thought she did brilliantly well. Third was Jennifer James, who she's got beautiful, beautiful shape. My biggest complaint with her, and I told her, was that she kept, when she got nervous, she lifts her traps and makes herself look awkward. And I think if she can overcome that and relax more into it, she'll be even more of a challenge. Beautiful to walk on stage. Her tea walk, she glides across the stage. Fourth was Nicole Weeks-Boyers, who was probably in the best shape I've seen for a long time. So to me, I think that was the strongest out of the women's classes, you know, from my point of view. The athletic class was won by New Girl, British Girl, Kerry Stewart, another girl who's probably got a lot of potential. Lovely, lovely put together, carries a bit of muscle, and actually looks very, very athletic. You know, she's got long limbs, and if you could imagine what an athletic competitor would look like, I think she's very much that. But still has to grow into the class. Although she won, there was a lot of her bigger names from that class were missing this year. And I would like to see her getting back up against them in the next year to see how she stacks up, to really give her an indication of where she stands, you know, at top level. But well, well put together. As I said, I think we've covered the bodybuilding. The men's bodybuilding, the heavyweight class was incredible. I mean, there was just so much muscle on that stage and so many beautifully put together physiques. The winner was Nate Williams, as I said, who, if people look him up on Facebook, look at his pictures, this kid is unique. He is gifted. He is the prodigy. We've called him that for years. We've known him in Britain for a few years. He won the overall, won his pro card from the junior class in the BMBF, and is just getting better and better. And I look to see him doing even more in the future. How he can do more when he's won the overall, but I think in his overall package, he'll be better. Second was Siobhan Cunningham. Siobhan, I didn't think was as good as he was 2 years ago. I think had he been in the condition he was in 2 years ago when he beat Dave Kay and won the class, it would have been a tighter competition. I think he was just a little bit off his best on this occasion, but you can't ever discount Siobhan. He carries so much muscle and he's so well put together. Robert Johnston took third. His condition was fantastic. He was slow to get started in the symmetry, but in the muscularity, he really came alive. And then at night, his routine is just, he's just such a great poser and great entertainer. So from that point of view, he was great. Fourth was Mark Claxton, who has placed fourth before, I think. Very, very chunky. And fifth was Robert Peacock. Robert, again, I met last year for the first time, and he really took it seriously this year. He brought his condition in a lot more from the previous year, and that really made a difference. And again, I look to see, I think he'll be even better. I think he's really got, you know, focus now, and I think that he'll be even looking to come back better next year. But, you know, he was so much better this year than the year before. The lightweight class, Robert Waterhouse from the UK won that class. He was very, very impressive, especially front on. Very classic, beautiful lines. Derek Davis was second, and again, beautiful lines. How you know, you can't ever knock him. It's so well put together, and his progress in the last few years has just been sensational. Third was Alfonso Jones, who was very chunky, real chunky competitor. Again, slightly tighter, probably would have been pushing the top two. Fourth was Tori Washington, who, again, beautiful classic lines, beautiful poser, great stage presence. The Masters class was another dynamite class with Sean Wolfe nailing that class. He was straight first on that one. His condition was absolutely sensational. Ton of muscle, real quality, mature muscle, and was followed by Daz Cooper, who's won the class before, who's, again, another force. I mean, great quads, great. I mean, it really was a class of mature muscle. Third was Rich Feliciano, who I think was better than the previous year again. And, again, if he came in a little bit tighter, I think he could push the top two harder. But these guys are just so much fun. I mean, they really have a real camaraderie. I think fourth was John Clark from the UK. John's got a real classically beautiful upper body. He lacks a little bit leg size and always has, and it's something he's totally aware of. But as I say, these guys were just having a ball on stage. They just had great fun, and it really was an epitome of what natural bodybuilding is all about, being up there, having a good time, supporting each other through the whole thing. It was very much a pleasure to watch.
Boy, I tell you, those are top names. Wow. I'm impressed that I'm really enjoying that the competition is coming out and competing the way they're doing, because that's really special. And, you know, that's something that natural bodybuilding needs, is the competition, because the top names really do make for a great show, because, like you said, they have the maturity mentally and physically. And it does make a difference when you have an audience that's really, you know, growing and learning with us.
Yeah, we actually had our biggest audience ever at the Worlds. World competitions are always hard to get an audience because people are traveling, so they don't always bring a huge amount of traveling support. But it was actually our biggest audience to date, and they were great. Really noisy, really enthusiastic. And as I say, you've seen the atmosphere there. Dave Kay, last year's world champion, was actually the MC. And did a brilliant job of keeping it going, keeping the atmosphere, you know, just making it feel like a really special event. He was actually superb. He did a fantastic job. And what an honor to have your previous world champion standing on stage introducing everybody.
Amen to that.
Well, and you know, and you can't have a better venue than Miami. I mean, really, to bring everybody together from all these different places. I mean, Miami's not too shabby.
Yeah, Desiree, you've never been. I mean, what's fantastic about the world is it's not a huge venue. It's quite intimate, so it does create good atmosphere. You know, there's a lot of work goes into presentation, so the athletes who make it there do feel like they're involved in something a wee bit special. But the hotel is attached to the venue, and you can actually go from your room into the elevator, press the third floor, and come out at the venue. So, you know, there's no worries about being late. There's no worries about it raining and ruining your tan or messing your hair up or anything like that. I mean, we've had guys coming down in their bathrobes and their slippers to the backstage area. You know, that's how easy it is. So it makes for a really sort of special weekend. And then the party after the show is in the hotel. So, again, there's no stress about having to get anywhere. So from that point of view, it does make it a really, really good and very intimate. You know, everybody's there, everybody's seeing each other all weekend, people are socializing, getting to know each other. So it does really make for something quite special.
I can tell you, I've been there, and it is very, very nice, and it is very, very, I'd say familial, like, where you feel like family, because everyone, like you said, is basically coming together with the intent of going to competition, but it's a lot of camaraderie that goes into it, because, you know, as much as people might enjoy what we do on stage, if they could see the joy that happens backstage when people are just basically helping so much in so many areas, and, you know, if you got a good expediter, like you were saying, if you got a good MC, if you got a good expediter, if everybody's doing what they should, I'm telling you, those shows transform. And it starts backstage, and it basically transforms right onto the main stage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had great teamwork. I mean, one of our girls that was helping backstage was there supporting her boyfriend who was in one of the classes. So when I, you know, went backstage, helped while she was doing something else, then I helped work backstage at the side of the stage. So everybody mucked in. Excuse me. Everyone made sure it was a good day.
That's good. And I know you're still catching your breath, obviously, from the 2016 finale at Worlds, but I got to ask, what are we looking at in 2017?
DFAC-wise, we've actually got a lot happening. We've actually got a show this weekend in Omaha, Nebraska. And funny enough, Robert Johnston, who I was just talking about being a great poser, is the guest star there. So for anyone that's in that area, it's well worth taking a bit of time to go into that show. They're new promoters for us. It's the first time running the show. It's the Midwest Tour of Champions. Julie Ripley is the promoter. And as I say, Robert Johnston will be there guest posing for her on Saturday. So that's, you know, still to come this year. And that'll be the first opportunity to qualify for next year's show in Miami, which is on the 4th of November next year. We then have shows in Buffalo, Ohio. Buffalo, Ohio. Trying to think what else. There's so many shows next year. We've got shows lined up, three shows lined up in Georgia. We've got Derek Draper's show. We've got another show, I think, in fall. I've actually just got the list to do, and I've not got them all here in front of me with the exact dates. We've got a show in Cayman Islands. So, yeah, it's next year's going to be really quite big for us. It's quite exciting. We've also got a DFAC show in India. We've asked to run a natural show. There's a thing called Body Power. It has a massive expo with over 100,000 visitors in the UK. The BMBF are actually running a show at that event for the first time this May. When we announced that we were going to do this show, the Body Power Expo in India asked if they could have a natural event. So the BMBF are actually running the show, but it will be a DFAC show and a qualifier for the DFAC Worlds in Miami. So that's quite a big deal for us, and that's in January next year. There's also other Body Power shows in Europe and in the US, which are possibly coming about. We're just waiting on dates and venues to be confirmed, and the DFAC will have shows at all these expos as well. So that's a massive thing for the DFAC. That's going to make a huge difference. I mean, one of our venues, if one of the venues comes off that could be coming off, I think it could be the biggest thing in natural bodybuilding as far as the USA. I mean, I think people will be shocked at it, and I think it'll be brilliant fun for the DFAC and very, very exciting. So that's something that we've got under our hat. We've also got a lot going on within Europe as well. So 2017 is really a big turnaround year for us. We had a few issues in 2016, which we were concerned about affecting Worlds, but luckily, absolutely not. The Worlds was absolutely sensational, and 2017, we have got so much happening. It's exciting. As I say, we've got the Cayman Islands, have definitely got a show next year, and India definitely have got a show next year, as well as a few others lined up.
Now the India intrigues me, because I know in that region, you have a lot of people that basically are using the synthol look and you know, a lot of that in South America, the regions where they really don't understand. Well, I don't want to say understand. They haven't been given the opportunity to see a natural physique and a natural body. So basically, you're going to be changing a lot of hearts and minds when you go out there.
That's what we're hoping for. I mean, what was interesting was that they actually requested it. So it was, you know, it was quite interesting for us. And yes, you're right. It is a big responsibility for us to take the first show out there. We're going to hope to take some of our stars out there and do some seminar type talks as well, and educational type talks, and just really introduce India to natural bodybuilding, and the whole drug testing procedure and things that's going to go with it. So yeah, it's not going to be easy. But, you know, it's a challenge. As I say, if it's going to make a difference to certain people and give people an opportunity to compete without using, then obviously it's got to be for the good of the sport.
And to follow up on that show, I mean, India is a very different culture. Are you going to have full categories for both men and women, or are there some selectivity there on who actually gets to compete?
As far as I'm aware, we haven't had any restriction on classes at the moment. I haven't been told there's any restrictions. So I'd really need to speak to the promoters more about this. They're actually away doing a tour of India at the moment. If you look on Body Power, they're doing a tour of India. And I'm sure when they come back, I think they're back next week, we'll be sitting down and talking about the best way for us to move forward on it.
Wow, so that really is exciting. I mean, and for natural bodybuilding to be, you know, spanning other countries the way that it is, I mean, you don't really hear about it until you get to the Worlds or the, you know, the finales for each of the federations. So that's very exciting. Now, you know, let's get a show going over in Australia. I will be at that one.
Yeah, we would definitely like to get to Australia. There seems to be I have a friend who is from the UK, who owns a supplement shop in Australia, and we've sort of talked about this whole natural thing in Australia, and his biggest thing is that the Australians' idea of natural and what we consider natural in the UK is very different. You know, he has these guys coming in and buying pro hormones and then competing in natural shows, which concerns him a little bit. And he said this is a major issue. But we have talked to him a little bit about the whole idea of a DFAC show over there. But with India coming up and Cayman Islands coming up, I don't know if I can afford to get to Australia as well. And as I don't make any money out of this, I'm going to have to
That's
put
okay.
my life savings
we'll
on the line.
We'll put that on 2018.
Yeah, maybe that's the idea.
Oh, my goodness. You are one of the busiest people. And, you know, that passion doesn't seem to wane. And the one thing that you do that I just enjoy so thoroughly is that you're always doing an outreach to the people that don't know, to the children, to the you know, the common worker, to the people that basically are gym rats or personal trainers. You still find a way to reach out to them. And you know, do you think that's something that will ever fade in you, or is that something that you could see doing till you're 90?
I don't know. Sometimes things, you know, sometimes things get to you. This has been a very trying year, and I know you know a lot about what's been going on because I've spoken to you, you know, as a friend in a lot of situations. And, you know, I would say this year could have been what broke me. But there's so many good people, and I still genuinely believe that bodybuilding has got a lot to offer, whether it's winning trophies or whatever, or just teaching focus, giving people something in their lives. Given direction, there's so much, you know, there's so much to give. I would love to, I mean, as I've said to you 100 times, we're kind of lucky over here in that the BMBF is very much a community, a family. You know, the pros don't get their pro cards and disappear. Our pros get their pro cards and then become more of part of the, a bigger part of the family. You know, we'll run clubs, and we've spoke about this before, and, you know, every club up and down the country. I think we had 3 or 4 last time I spoke to you. We've just added another one. And all these clubs, our top pros and our amateurs are turning up. They're not turning up to be paid. They're not turning up for money. They're turning up just to give back and to be there and to encourage the youngsters. I mean, our teenagers and junior classes are strong, strong classes with a lot of competitors. And that wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for these people giving for free, because these guys can't afford a prep coach here and prep coaches there. You know, they can't afford that. So, you know, bodybuilding shouldn't be for the privileged. It should be for everybody. And that's the one thing we've got over here, is that everybody's giving back. I mean, I'll turn up at a show and my judging panel is full of all the top pros. I mean, they all judge for me at every show. You know, they'll turn up and guest pose, not for money, not for anything, just because it's what you do. It's part of being part of the BMBF. If you can be there, you go along, you know. And we've never been to a show where we've not had, you know, six or seven, even more pros from the BMBF DFAC pros sitting there judging, or even just being there supporting or helping backstage, or, you know, doing that. So it's kind of nice for us. I wish we could get that for the DFAC. I wish that each individual area could create something similar, because I think that it would bring natural bodybuilding on so much stronger. It wouldn't become what it is, the mishmatch of shows and just people turning up with their prep coaches and not talking to each other. It would very much change the whole outlook of people and how much they'll help each other and get involved. But it's much easier for us because we're such a much smaller country. But I wish we could get that feeling across this to you guys. It just would make such a difference.
No, I mean, I have to say ouch on that one, because this is something that I've noticed as well. Is, you know, we have people that look phenomenal when they win their pro cards. They look phenomenal when they compete as pros, but when they stop competing, they just stop, and you don't see them anymore. And I was always wondering, you know, why would it mean that much and then not have the passion go with it, where you could basically start teaching and passing on? And that's something we do have to work on, because, you know, it is a concern, like you're saying, if we want it to grow, then we have to basically either water it or help plant or do something to cultivate the community, because it can't be just stuck on one side and not on the other. It has to be addressed on all ends and all facets. And I can tell you there's plenty of names I watched 2-3 years ago, and I thought they would be big or you know, much more involved in the natural bodybuilding community. And the only time I really see them is when they're at the Arnold or at the Olympia with the enhanced individuals. And I'm thinking, well, you know, what good is that for the natural community? Other than, you know, you getting some kudos for hanging out with an enhanced person.
Yeah. It takes people to want to give back. I mean, I have lots of pros that speak. I mean, after the shows, you always get people wanting feedback, wanting advice, sometimes criticizing judges, you know, sometimes, you know, having something to say. And I'll say, well, you know what to do? Judge some shows. You want to, you know, you want to make a difference, come and judge for the DFAC. Come and sit on a panel. Learn what it's like to be sitting at the other side of the table. Because that, for any athlete, you learn so much by judging, because you actually sit there and watch and think, oh, God, I do that. Oops, I do that. And it's a big learning experience. But it also means that you're giving back. If you don't think judges are doing a good job, if you don't like the people that are sitting there, if you're a professional athlete that's achieved something and you know your sport, come and judge. You know, come and get involved. Come and support what we do. You know, there's nothing to stop you getting involved. And that way, you think things aren't getting done right, you get some sort of say. You can make a difference rather than just bitch about it and complain about it.
And isn't that the truth? You know, we all have a lot of good ideas. What is it I've seen? Everybody wants to be a beast until it comes time to do what beasts do. Something like that. So it is good for, you know, the pros to stay involved, because they continue to grow as athletes as well. And the last time we had you on the show, you had talked about how a lot of your pros get together and you have your, you know, day in the gym where you work with the teams. Sounds like that program is still going strong. Is that something that your folks on your end are still doing on a regular basis?
Every month. We have five clubs in the UK now, up and down the country. Every single month, the people there, giving their time, helping teach to pose, helping give them advice, point them in the right direction, tell them what's expected when they compete, you know, just being there for them and giving them the support and the encouragement to do it. Yep, absolutely.
Well, now,
I mean, and that speaks
to
why your team programs are so strong. I know we struggle on this end with getting more of the youth involved in the sport. You're starting to see more and more of it, but you know, it's and Kalen has been active on his end in doing similar things, but it just goes to show when you feed the pipeline, the athletes are there. So, sorry, Kalen, go ahead.
That's okay. We
got
a little bit derailed over here because of one of the individuals being in our group that was basically pretending. He was hiding and with naturals to basically build his clientele and do other things and, you know, resemble a natural athlete, but was the furthest thing from it. And one of the biggest things that was the telltale sign was the absence of compassion and passion for the people that worked hard to basically compete. And you know, it like Vicky said, it does take the wind out of your sails for a bit, and it's hard. I'll be honest with you, it's hard. And if people ask me, I'll say, yeah, I still have to, you know, feel a little pain in my heart, because you know, you really see things that can happen, and you really got things that can go to certain places, and then it gets derailed, and that's tough. You know, it's tough. So, you know, I'm not going to quit. You know, I, God knows I wasn't raised one, so how can I start now? But, you know, it is a process, and I think just like building your body, you always got work to do. So, you know, Vicky, thank you so much for what you do, and thank you for motivating me to keep wanting to go, and God bless you for doing it.
I hope some people get something from it. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from, because, you know, when people are fake and people are not what you think and you put trust in them, it does break you. And as I say, you know, for me this year, I really was hurt. Really was hurt. And hurt at my own stupidity of being taken in by people that were fake, people that pulled the wool over my eyes and really weren't what we thought they were, and who were actually really doing damage, which was very, very sad. And as I've said, you know, with the DFAC and with the BNBF, I haven't done any of this for money. I take no money from any or either of these organizations. Everything I do for free because I genuinely believe the sport is something worth fighting for. So when things happen like they did last year, that was, I just was really quite shocked and quite taken aback. And like you, you know, it really did make me take stock and think, and it nearly made me give up. But then there's so many positive things have come from this, and so many people that, you know, get so much out of what we can do that, yeah, we keep going, we keep pushing forward. And as I say, for me, having been at the Worlds 2 weeks ago and watched how amazing a time everyone had, made it all worthwhile again. And watching this year grow and develop, and obviously the thing in India that is exciting because it's so new, it's worth it. You know, it will be worth it again this year. And, you know, the DFAC is on the up. We've recovered and we're pushing back, and it's going well. It's going really, really well.
And I'm so thankful for it because, you know, the passion you have is very unique, and it's definitely a blessing, and it takes those people that have been hit hard and still can come back, because that's the one that provides hope and the people that don't have it and the people that are struggling with it. And so, you know, thank you for that. And just, you know, I know you don't do this on your own. I know there's so many people that are with you and here to help you. And if you could just acknowledge them and just, you know, before the show ends, just let them know how much they make a difference in your life. Because honestly, I can honestly and openly say you make a difference in mine. And I've never been ashamed to say that or admit that.
Seriously, Kaelin, there are so many people. I mean, I'm going to lump the team together as far as over here in the UK, the BNBF team of people who, some of them haven't even been near a bodybuilding stage. And I know so many of them do it for me. I mean, we had people come over to the world who came for a holiday. I mean, Samantha Evans, who came out at the last minute, she decided to come and join us. She worked solidly for 3 days, literally, for that world. Amy Lloyd, another girl who, you know, they came out there off their own steam, paid their own trip, and they busted their asses to make sure that show ran smoothly. Sharon Johnston, my friend, we call her Flossie. I mean, I think you met Flossie last year. She has never been anywhere near a bodybuilding stage. She's not even interested in bodybuilding. She was there 100% to support me in what I do. Gordon Lyons, again, another friend who is there, and I know he's there for me. I mean, he enjoys the fun element and putting it together, but it was tough. It was a tough year. It was hard work for him, and, you know, he does it for me as well. And I know these guys are all supporting me. But every one of the team from the BNBF who came out, athletes, competitors, supporters, you know, I can't thank all of them enough for their positive attitude, the way they worked together, the way they supported each other, the backstage guys, how they helped everyone out. They didn't just look out for our team. They were there helping everyone to make sure that everyone had a great day. Then, obviously, all the DFAC promoters that, you know, stand by what we're doing. I mean, I understand from their point of view, the DFAC is tough to promote for because our drug testing is the strictest. It's more expensive than anybody else. We are not a wealthy organization, so we don't have the finances to help them the way we would love to. We don't allow them to have crossovers, which makes them money. We're trying to make a difference to the sport. It's not a business. So for promoters that do stick with the DFAC, I understand that you guys get it. It's not about you and it's not about profits. It's about trying to make a difference. And by God, every one of you that's still with us and stuck with us, I love you guys because you're incredible. You know, Derek Davis, Ricky Hill, all the people there. Nicole Weeks has just been such a superstar, so supportive throughout the year. Rich and Mike, who are there at the head out in the US. Eugene Ring, Joe Rich, these guys are so supportive. Julie, who's got her first show this year, as I say, this Saturday. And, you know, big up to Julie and good luck, and I hope that show goes brilliantly for you. You couldn't have a better guest star. You know, Robert Johnson's going to be there. He's going to be there guest posing. He's going to be judging. He's going to be there to give the athletes some encouragement and support, which, again, I can't thank him enough, because we asked him at the last minute and he's just jumped on board and got there. That's the sort of thing I expect from the British pros. He got it. He did it. He's going to be there for them, and I really, really appreciate that as well. But there are so many, Keelan. I mean, this isn't a one-man band. This is a team. It's a family. It's everyone sticking together. It's about loyalty, and it's about caring about others, not just yourself, and that's what makes the biggest difference.
And the difference it is making. So, Vicki, we know it's rolling close to midnight on your end, so we always appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, because we know you have to stay up into the wee hours in order to get on the show. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you know what? 2017 sounds like it's going to be even bigger and better, so we're going to have our eye on you, and we definitely want you to keep us in the loop about India and the Caymans. So big stuff. So
absolutely. I will keep you in touch with everything that's going on, Desiree, and anytime I'm happy to stay up late just to chat to you guys.
Awesome. We appreciate it.
Wow.
Woo, that's a lot.
It is. And it's a lot going on, and she did a wonderful job, and I thank God for it. I'm not kidding when I say it. I know the struggle she has to deal with, and, you know, sadly, a lot of guys didn't want to really acknowledge her being a woman, you know, because, you know, whether she intended or not, she became the face of the DFAC. And, you know, with her physique, she did draw a lot of eyes her way, because she does work hard. And I was really impressed that this year she was hard on herself, but she was saying, you know, all the things that she could have brought better to the stage. And that's what it takes. I mean, if we can't look at ourselves truthfully and honestly, and sometimes people will think we're being incredibly hard on ourselves, but if we're that competitor that we speak, then it's not really that hard when you realize what top, you know, like what we talk about when we talk about the top-notch competitors and what they look like and what we think needs to be on a pro stage. That's not saying that people are less. That's just saying we want to bring more and better when we step on a pro stage. And that's what competition, and that's what a competitor really is. And being a promoter and being part of the industry, it doesn't change. I mean, you still want to bring the very best. And I will always love what the DFAC brings as far as stage, as far as backstage, is what they want, is what they feel the competitors need. And I was just blown away with even the presentation. You got to see it. It's really something to see when you see, you know, what could not what could potentially happen, but what is happening when people finally understand that the competitor has value.
Yes. And we're definitely seeing that revved up. It's almost like its own little movement. Like we have the I Am Athletes movement that's popping up, but also just from an offering perspective from the promoters themselves, it is something that's catching fire, and they are challenging each other. And, you know, it's only good for the athletes, bringing a lot of good things their way. So there really is never been a better time to be part of the natural bodybuilding community, truly. Just with all the different things going on, changes being made, and the focus that's returning to the athletes. So, and with that being said, you know, athletes always do keep a respectful attitude towards your promoters and others in the industry, because they are just people too. And the more that they pour into you, the more we can pour back into them. That circle just continues. And it's just going to continue to improve. So it's a good time.
Good point. And I'm going to piggyback that by saying, you know, we do have to do more as competitors as far as what we bring as our presentation. And, you know, granted we're going to have bucket list competitors, I get it, and there's nothing wrong with that because they made a life transformation and they want to show the world because they busted their behinds to get to it, and that's fine. But then there's the people that truly know competition, and you can't come on stage looking like a bucket list competitor. And that's just, you know, in order for the sport to grow, that's what it's going to take. And, like, you know, what I liked about the DFCC World when I competed is that you had to basically qualify, which is something that, you know, I as a rank amateur in the beginning, that just blew me away because I was used to, you know, if you wanted to compete, you paid your money, you stepped on stage. For the
yep.
World and these other shows, you have to qualify to get out there. So you can't bring that little look you thought might be nice in the gym. You basically are going up against the world's best. And that really changes things. I can't explain it any better than seeing that American flag and knowing that's what you're representing instead of just, you know, your gym or the state or whatever. It's worldwide, and that just makes everything that much more special and important.
I mean, and there is that sense of pride. I don't care what anybody says going on right now. I think there is still a sense of pride to be an American, to represent your country. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on, but there's still a lot of good things that are still intact and have been for a long time, regardless of the ignorance like you experienced today, and I will call it that. There's still a lot of good things out there to be proud of and to be thankful for. And, you know, and this is one of them.
And you know, with Thanksgiving coming up, that was, I mean, like, there's so much going on and there's so much negative. And when the guy went negative on me, I just couldn't go there with him because I said, enough. You know, we've had enough of negative. We've had enough of people that are basically, I don't know that man's situation. I don't know what he was going through. I know he was drunk. We could smell the alcohol. And, yeah, he was dismissed from the gas station, and he wasn't able to get any gas. So I don't know if he ran out or whatever. And I know they were concerned for me when I had to leave the building because, you know, he might try to do something. And these things are the America we live in right now, but they don't have to be the America we live in the future. And that's the hope that always drives me because I know we can do better. I mean, because you figure when we started our fitness life, we had a hook, and we thought this is as good as it gets. And then we got better, and we said, okay, this is as good as it gets because how can we get better than this? And then a year later, guess what? We either look better or we fall off the wagon and then start over. But we still have that chance and that other day. And I see the same thing for our country. It's no different. And so, you know, people like that are basically somebody dropping the weight on your foot. And you have to limp around a little bit. But, you know, after a while that pain goes away and you get back to full stride. It never changes. And the only thing that should happen is that we change by getting better.
The only thing we can truly control are ourselves. So, and the way you responded, folks, that's what we call grace. And so he was fortunate because Kaylin's right, had someone else, you know, handled that encounter, it could have happened much differently and had been a negative news story once again on the news.
Yeah.
So that
yeah,
in and of itself is a blessing.
And what I'm learning is that news isn't really news anymore. It's ratings. And what brings out the better rating is basically what's shown. Because if you look at some of the feeds, it's edited. And that's pretty sad. And when you talk about the climate, and when I say climate, I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about the pulse of this nation. The climate this country is in right now, we don't need another divisive story. We don't need something else that's going to destroy it. And that's, you know, I directly correlated that straight to natural bodybuilding, because that has been the last 2 years where these kind of things have been happening, where we have a nice, good push going, and then there's something to try to derail it, but it doesn't derail it, but it slows it down a great deal. And we have to stop that. I mean, the situation has to be more than just us. You know, granted, he said that to me, but there were plenty of other people in that building that were witness to what I was supposed to do, but didn't. They were witness to what he shouldn't have done, but did.
But did.
What changes the outcome is us. We make the difference, and we have to learn to get to that point where we're not holding on to our pride and our ego and destroying everything around us in that process. And that's basically everything in a nutshell.
It's so true. So true. So deep thoughts. Not by Jack Handy, but by Kaylin Patterson, folks. And as always, if you have thoughts that you want to share or to add to or contribute, we're going to get to the snickerdoodle. Don't worry. I won't short you on your snickerdoodle. Be sure to let us know. Be sure to let us know. And coming up this Thursday, we are going to, again, be looking at a more serious topic. We're going to be talking about depression. And how our guest, his experiences in that area. So you know somebody who suffers from, we all do. We may not realize it, but we all know somebody who suffers from depression. It's one of the most rampant illnesses, if you will, that's impacting individuals of all ages throughout the United States, and I'll say around the world today. So a very important topic. It's one that impacts a lot of people in a lot of different ways, and it's not just a mood that you're in. Depression is something that can impact you emotionally, physically, mentally, you know, every aspect of your life, depending on the severity of the condition. So that's what's coming up on Thursday. So please do join us. And with that, go ahead, snickerdoodle shout out. It's your time.
Snickerdoodle.
Yeah, you guys know we can't ever stay serious for way too long, although sometimes we try. You know, it is so crazy because I listened to our podcast, so, you know, we don't just get on here and record. We do go back and listen, and I'm like, I really sound like a Muppet sometimes on this audio. I'm like, can I sound any more ridiculous? Whether it be serious, being funny, I don't know what, but I could really have been part of Jim Henson's Muppets, for real. So I don't know if some of you guys listen to me and you're like, what on earth? Who let her on the airwaves?
I disagree.
It was Kaylin. It was Kaylin. It was his fault. So
anyway, there you go.
It's the carb brain that's kicking in because I don't even know where I'm going with this. So I am going to say goodnight. We had hashtag snickerdoodle already. We're going to have a great show again on Thursday. On behalf of myself, Kaylin, our boys at the P4P Muscle, Joseph, JB, and or Joe, JB, and Chad, your body's a temple. Let's build it.
Snickerdoodle!
When you don't go to geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you love the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
UPS is now hiring part-time package handlers and seasonal driver helpers throughout Des Moines. Package handlers receive competitive pay, up to an $80 weekly and $250 quarterly bonus based on location, and can also graduate debt-free with up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Driver helpers also receive competitive pay and get picked up along their route every day. No license required. Apply now at jobs-ups.com/radio. That's jobs-ups.com/radio.